الأمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين ورضي الله عن أصحابه وأزواجه وأحبابه والتابعين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الله، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الأولين، صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الآخرين، وصل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So I think that's appropriate to start with, though this is a dua, but obviously it's in the Quran. And the best thing that we start with is Kitabullah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, as you all know, inna asdaq al hadithi kitabullah ta'ala wa khayr al hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sharr al umuri muhdathatuha wa kulla muhdathatin bid'a wa kulla bid'atin dalala. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of us, the most truthful of things, is Kitabullah. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. The book. There's nothing better than the book. يهدي. It's guiding. By itself it guides. إن هذا القرآن يهدي. This Quran guides. Yes, salam. And what best after the Quran than the authentic prophetic sunnah? على صاحبها أفضل الصلاة وأزكى السلام. Nothing is better than that. So let's stick with that. And then let's see where we go. يقول الله عز وجل في المحكم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واجعل لي وزيرا من أهلي هارون أخي أشدد به أزري وأشركه في أمري كي نسبحك كثيرا ونذكرك كثيرا إنك كنت بنا بصيرا قال قد أوتيت سؤلك يا موسى وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. The ayahs في سورة طه. Allah commands Musa عليه السلام. Musa الكليم, right? What's the nickname of سيدنا موسى عليه السلام? الكليم, كليم الله. يعني he, Allah spoke to Musa, فكليم. وإبراهيم ال خليل ها طيب فالكليم عليه السلام is not easy. يعني Allah tells الكليم, commands الكليم, اذهب إلى فرعون. Go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the tyrant of earth at that time. Allah tells him إنه طغى, for Pharaoh has committed transgression and tyranny. He became a tyrant. Go to him. Upon this command, الكليم عليه السلام says immediately, قال ربي اشرح لي صدري. يا الله, expand my heart for me. يا الله, grant me that comfort in the heart. يعني make it expanded. اشرح لي صدري. Then, after that, after you expand my chest, you expand my heart, or which means put tranquility and peace in my heart and comfort, Allah says on behalf of Musa, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, and make things easy for me. They're difficult going to Fir'aun. Then he says, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي and untie my tongue so they understand what I am saying. Make my words smooth that go to their heart. They understand. Not only that, وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي I'm going to Pharaoh, Ya Allah, I need an assistant, a wazir, a minister who helps me, a vice prophet in a sense. Naib, or wakil, or assistant, or wazir. Harun, my brother, أَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي Ya Allah, make him part of my deal, my sending to him, you sending me to Pharaoh. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا So we both will be doing your tasbih, but lots of tasbih. That's what the prophets do. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا And we always are in your remembrance a lot. Allah tells him, قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى You want, basically you want that I give you this نشرح لك صدرك You want me to give you this يعني you want ربي اشرح لي صدري You're granted that I will grant you that I give you expansion of your chest So it's not contracted And I will give you Harun as your wazir ولقد مننا عليك And this is the second time we do you the favor like this by granting you this. طبعاً, I want you to sort of be in the atmospheres of the ayahs. All the time, it's important for us to move to the atmospheres of revelation. And the atmospheres of revelations are very big and deep and dangerous. Pharaoh is the tyrant that ruled earth on that at that time. Pharaoh did not just say, I am the ruler. But Pharaoh went to say, not only I am the ruler, but I am your supreme Lord. I am a God to be worshipped to all of you. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى He said, يَا قَوْمْ مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي There is no God for you other than me. Pharaoh used to wake up one day if he sees a bad dream, as some Mufassirin say, and he says, kill everyone, every young born or newborn male from the Israelites, from Bani Israel, kill them all. You kill children? What did the children do to you? Well, Pharaoh woke up on the wrong side of the bed. That's what he decides. Who's to stop him? Pharaoh subjugated people, enslaved people, killed people, did everything. هَذِي لَنْهَا تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي Egypt and its rivers are running under me. I am over all these things. يعني if you blink with Pharaoh the wrong way, killing you and your tribe is not a big deal. Now who sees Allah sends to him? Musa, عليه السلام. موسى الكليم طبعا اوكي موسى is a prophet is a messenger رسول من أولي العزم a high level messenger but sending موسى against the entire state of فرعون it's not موسى versus فرعون it's موسى versus the world at that time the world was under فرعون So it's not that Musa alayhi salam had to deal with one person. No. Al-Kalim alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi afdalus salatu wa azka salam had really to go against the whole world because Pharaoh and all the instruments of Pharaoh and the apparatuses of Pharaoh and the governments of Pharaoh and the departments of Pharaoh and the intelligence of Pharaoh and the informants of Pharaoh and the ministers of Pharaoh and the soldiers of Pharaoh and everyone who Pharaoh buys and pays and deals with, the whole world was against Musa alayhi salam at that time, in that sense. Therefore, Al-Kalim, when he saw himself and Allah put him in this test, اذهب إلى فرعون. There's no way out. If Allah commands you, you don't say, Ya Allah, He has to go. Innahu tagha. Tagha, he became tyrant. You need to go to him. Who's going to straighten up Pharaoh? But Musa al-Kalim had to go. Immediately when Allah Ta'ala commanded al-Kalim alayhi salam Musa to go to Fir'aun al-La'im. Music is nice, but maybe some other time, inshallah. Now, immediately when Allah Ta'ala commanded Musa al-Kalim alayhi salatu wassalam to go to Fir'aun and to give him what? To give him da'wah. Notice, in another ayah, as you all know, al-Kalim alayhi salam, what does he tell? What does Allah tell him to tell Fir'aun? قَالَ فَهَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَعِنْد وَرْشْتَ الزَّكَّى. Would you like to, ya Fir'aun, would you like to seek purification of the heart? Fir'aun doesn't even have a heart. In that sense. Yani from our perspective. Lakin al-Kalim alayhi salam was ordered to give him da'wah. How does he give Fir'aun the tyrant da'wah? In the most best of ways. Look at this, how soft. He tells him, هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. If you purify your heart, I'll be able to guide you to your Lord. Batteries made in China. Huh? Let me start with this, otherwise it'll take some time. I don't want you to stay here till midnight. What I am saying is, pick up the messages in what Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is saying. He tells Fir'aun, he was commanded to go to Fir'aun to do what? To give Fir'aun da'wah. Fir'aun doesn't accept anything. He kills you if you tell him anything. You tell him anything good for him, not if you tell him anything about you are not God. You never were God. And there is a God, you, ya Fir'aun, you need to worship. And guess what? I am his messenger and you have to obey me. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? And it's not just Fir'aun. And that's why many of the mufassirin, they say that when, yani طبعاً there is no authentic sanad to this, so take it or leave it, whatever you like. They say that when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to the palace of Fir'aun, yani in Egypt, the guards outside, where do you think you're going? He says, I want to meet the king. They said, you want to go and meet the king? They looked at his clothing, they looked at the way he's dressed, they looked at all that stuff, and they tried to tell him, you have no business going there. You don't belong there. Upon his insistence, day after day after day after day, tell him that I have a message to him from the Lord. The guards tell him, no, he's the Lord. What are you talking about? No. I have a message from his Lord. Huh? So allegedly anyway, so eventually they allowed him to go in. And the minute he got in, Fir'aun also mocked him based on his clothing. أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ. Look at him, how he's dressed. Fir'aun tells the people. He is coming and he says he represents the Lord of all. And look how he's dressed. If he's truly a representative of the one who owns everything, wouldn't he have had gold around his neck? أَسْوِرَةٌ مِنْ ذَهَبٌ, Al-Quran says. Wouldn't he have gold if he says he represents the one who owns everything? Well, you know, where are the gifts? Because every ambassador that comes to Fir'aun brings him all the gold. And based on how rich the kingdom is, they bring him more gold. And Musa tells him, I represent the kingdom of Allah, who owns everything and everyone. He says, where's your gold? Show me the credentials. Fir'aun always believe your worth is based on your gold. And many people still have that Fir'auni understanding until today. anyway, I'm just putting you in the atmospheres of Musa al-Kalim alayhi salam going to Pharaoh. In this atmosphere where Pharaoh or Pharaoh would kill people just for any advice or even wrong blinking in his court, wrong word in his court, al-Kalim alayhi salam had to go and tell him that I have a message of guidance. I want to give you da'wah. Immediately, when Allah commanded Al-Kalim alayhi salam, Musa, قال اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Immediately, Musa Al-Kalim went after he's ordered to give da'wah. He went into the hadra of du'a. قال ربي اشرح لي صدري. Instead of going to the hadra or the station of making da'wah, he retracted first to the station of making du'a, praying. Before he did da'wah, he had to do du'a. What is he telling you? Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka. Yani, oh Allah, in order for me to worship you, I seek your help to worship you. Some may think that the hadra of du'a is easier than the hadra of da'wah. Huh? I mean, I'd rather make million du'a than go and face this tyrant. The hadra of du'a, or the station of you making du'a while you're absent in ghafla and absenteeism and heedlessness in the du'a, is easy. Because you're not really making du'a, you're just doing lip service. That's easier than actually going and giving da'wah to others. You see, giving da'wah versus doing du'a, or the hadra of da'wah versus the hadra of du'a, are different entirely. The hadra of da'wah, going to give da'wah, may entail da'wah in the Arabic language. Da'wah in the Arabic language is share of the nafs. Hey, I'm a da'i, I give things, you know, I preach, I talk on microphones. I give da'wah to people, I. The hadra of giving da'wah. The hadra of da'wah contains lots of trials and tests. Don't think it's easy. Lots of people aspire to talk and lead. And many also run away from talking and leading. Trust me. The hadra of making da'wah. You're not just giving da'wah to the other, but you're first giving da'wah to yourself. And if the others listen and yourself doesn't listen, you're facing that in the day of judgment. The hadra of da'wah, you can give it. But the hadra of du'a, that's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not you and the rest of the creation. You being with the creation, you can do whatever you want. You can put whatever face you want. You can wear whatever clothes you want. You can tie your imama in whichever style that makes you distinguished that you want. You can wear whatever jubbar. You can put whatever things that makes you different from the rest of the people that you want. You can do that with the creation, and you whatever impression you want to put on them, you do that. But with Allah ta'ala, He does not look at your impressions. He does not look at what you're wearing. He does not look at your body. He looks at your heart, as in Sahih Imam Muslim. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa la ila jasadikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum. But He looks at your heart. In the hadra of da'wah, you can be with the creation and mingle and you don't think there's anything wrong. But in the hadra of du'a, you have to be only with Allah. And with Allah, that hadra accepts no existence but Allah. Even your existence, you're annihilated from, because you realize it's not your skills. You're talking to Him who knows everything about you. He taught you.
He empowered you. He sent you. He facilitated for you. He permitted you. What are you going to tell him? You did? You did what? Without him, you did? Well, he doesn't know that you did. Therefore, the hadra of dua is a ma'idah. And this ma'idah has a rule. Kullu man alayha fan. Everyone in that hadra is perished. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. Only Allah remains. In other words, as if Al-Kaleem is teaching you. You can face the world. Don't tell me I'm facing this difficulty, I'm facing that difficulty. Al-Kaleem alayhi salam had to face the world. And a tyrant that would kill him and slit his throat in a blink of an eye. Lakin Al-Kaleem, when he realized the heavy responsibility waiting before him, immediately, instead of going to the command of giving da'wah and outreach, he went to the station of making du'a, where he himself perished, asking Allah Ta'ala. He realized that he doesn't really exist in the real sense, because he's powerless and he's weak and he's needy of Allah. And that's why the first thing Al-Kaleem said, Qala, what did he say? Rabbi. Before, ishrah li sadri, wait. Qala Rabbi, oh my Rabbi. You are my Rabb. I have no Rabb but you. Rabb comes from tarbiyah, also a meaning. That you, Ya Allah, you brought me up under your care. You gave me everything. You know what my powers are. You know what my limitations are. You know what my this are. You know what I can and I can't do. Rabbi, you are my Lord. I cannot go anywhere except if I say Rabbi. And therefore, when Al-Kaleem alayhi salam went to Fir'aun, he went with what? Rabbi. He went with Allah. He did not take his skills with him. His power was that he went with Allah. Why do you think the first thing you say in the Quran is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? Why? Why do you think you say that? Why do you think you say Allahu Akbar? Greater than you and greater than all your plans and all your skills and everything that you think you can. Allah is Akbar, greater from that. Why do you think you say Bismillah in the name of Allah? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, who's the greatest, subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything else is insignificant compared to him. There is no comparison to him anyway, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in that sense, that's why Al-Kaleem went to say that. And that's why it's important, again, why do you think An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said fil hadith al-Hasan, hadith Anas, he says, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." Ad-du'a is the heart of ibadah. Well, hadith sahih from An-Nu'man bin Bashir and the Tirmidhi al-Hadith, where An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." One hadith tells you ad-du'a is the heart of ibadah, and then another hadith he tells you ad-du'a is ibadah. Praying is ibadah. وحديث علي عند الحاكم where النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم says الدعاء سلاح المؤمن. الدعاء is the weapon of the believer. Why is it? And why does Al-Kaleem say Rabbi? What is, those of you who understand Arabic, what's the haraka on Rabbi, on the ba? Kasra or fatha or dhamma or sukoon? What is it? Kasra. Kasra in the Arabic language means what linguistically? Huh? State of being broken. Kasra is a state of being broken. When you talk to Allah, you have to be in the state of being broken. You cannot go and make dua to Allah and you're filled with your pride and you're filled with what you think you can do. You can't do anything. He knows everything. He gave you everything in the first place. If you want to make dua to him, he wants you to make dua in the state of being broken, that you realize how broken you are before Allah Rabbul Alameen, that you are needy to him, not just needy by words, but you are needy to him subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality, in everything about you, and that you without him is absolutely nothing. And you wish you were nothing without him even. Even nothing is better. That's why you have to be in kasra, in a state of brokenness. And that's the secret of accepting dua. You go and give him from the side of your lips. Who are you fooling? Qala Rabbi. Ya Rabb, you are my Lord. You are my Lord, Rabbi. You're going to him realizing that you are helpless. You are hopeless. You are worthless without him. In reality, to the full extent, not that you can do something, you can't do anything. If you go to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua in any other state, you're only fooling yourself. And you're lacking adab with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of you and your words that you memorize that you don't feel. Allah is not in need of you and your words, the big words that you want to just throw at him. He doesn't want you to throw big words at him. He wants you to be in a state of begging him. That's why Hadith al-Bayhaqi, though, again, it has no authentic sanad, lakin the meaning is there. Lahu shahid fi sahih Muslim. When allegedly Dawood asked him, he says, Ya Allah, where do I find you? Where do I find you? And allegedly Allah told Dawood, عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Ya Dawood, you will find me at those whose hearts are broken for me. Find them, you'll find me there. وهذا مصداق حديث مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال عبدي مرضت فلم تزرني قال ربي أو فلم تعدني لفظ مسلم تعدني قال ربي كيف أعودك وأنت رب العالمين. Allah tells the slave, you did not visit me. And he says, Ya Allah, how can I visit you and you are the Lord of the worlds? Allah tells him, which means, don't you know that my slave so and so was sick? Don't you know, had you visited him, you would have found me there? Where do you find him? At those whose hearts are broken for me. هذا سر الدعاء. This is the secret of dua. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you that dua is the silah of the mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. What do you mean the weapon? Musa is going... What weapons can Musa al-Kalim take with him to Fir'aun al-La'im, who has all these things, all these weapons? He takes with him the silah, the weapon of dua. And he did make dua. From that dua, look, remember when Musa alayhi salam went and saw the daughter of Shu'aib, possibly? What did he say? قال اللهم إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير what? فقير. Allah needy. Abdullah bin Ja'far, the grandson of Abu Talib. Abdullah bin Ja'far bin Abi Talib. يعني he is the son of Ja'far. Ja'far is the brother of Ali. Abdullah bin Ja'far said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when after Abu Talib died, he went from Mecca to Al-Ta'if. Walking. Mecca and Al-Ta'if is about what? 70 to 90 kilometers. Walking in the desert. Walking. By himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody with him. Walking until he reached Al-Ta'if, Abdullah bin Ja'far says. He gave people da'wah. You know, I mean, an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes, when he goes, what does he do?
He says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, qulu la ilaha illallah, tuflihu. Oh people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. Don't do injustices to each other. Don't transgress upon each other. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. That's what he's going to be good. And you know what At-Ta'if did with him? They unleashed their thugs against him. They threw things at him. They threw stones at him. They threw filth at him, wal-ayyadu billah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what he did? He took a tree, he found a tree, and he took the shade of the tree, and you remember the dua that he did. And here is the dua, and all of us should memorize that dua. And that's the dua of who? Sayyidul Anbiya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidul Mursaleen. Now his uncle, the one who was protecting him, died. His wife died. He walks all the way to another city. He gives them dawah and they slander him and they curse him and they do all these things to him. And then he takes, and he is not the one that is praying every now and then. Because today we have people who offer a prayer sometimes in Ramadan and they say, I prayed last Ramadan. How come Allah did not send me Jibreel with the key to a brand new car and a house and a nice degree? You know? How come this problem was not solved? I just really did two nice rak'ah. I put my heart in them. Rest assured, if you do make dua sincerely, your dua is answered. That's what Allah told us. وَقُلِ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask me, yani ask me sincerely, ask me and only me. Selflessly, sincerely, I will give you, I will grant you. But remember, Allah Ta'ala grants in the time that He wants and in the way that He wants, not in according to the scheduling time that you have and in the way that you want. But He grants. He grants. So that's why ask Him for the best. Selflessly and sincerely, He will give you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He promised. And He does not retract from His promises. Rest assured. But Allah does not work according to your schedule, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not you, not me. النبي الأكرم صلى الله عليه وآله وأزواجه وأصحابه وسلم والرسول الأفخم, the best of the messengers. He goes after Allah takes away the one who used to protect him. He takes away his most beloved wife. He takes away from him. He walks all the way to another city, and then people slander him and curse him and all these things. He stands beside a tree in its shade and he says, Allahumma in ilayka ashku. Allahumma. The first thing he says. He doesn't lose hope in Allah, but he says, Ya Allah, to you I complain. I don't complain to anyone but you. I don't complain about you to the creation, because the creation are helpless anyway. They can't help themselves to help me. They can't grant themselves to grant me. But to you, Ya Allah, Lord of all, creator of all, sustainer of all, protector of all, to you I complain. إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُو ضَعْفَ قُوَّتِي. The weakness in my strength I complain to you. Ya Rasulullah, weakness in your strength, وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي, and I don't know else what to do. I've done everything. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ, and that people are humiliating me. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي. Ya Allah, to whom are you sending me? To whom are you giving my affairs to? In whose hands are you leaving my matter with? إِلَى عَدُوًا يَتَجَهَمُنِي. To an enemy that does not like me? Or to whom? And then he tells him, إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ علي فلا أبالي. يا الله, as long as your anger is not on me, I do not care. Whatever happens in this world, I do not care. As long as you are pleased with me and what I am doing, all these things and all these results and all these things, I do not care. Who's saying as long as your anger is not with me? Allah Ta'ala on His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved? Yes. Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Ya Allah, as long as your anger is not on me, I don't care. أعوذ بنور وجهك. I seek refuge in the illumination of your countenance. And it doesn't mean literal limb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The illuminations from you that have illuminated all the creation, that your anger is placed upon me or your displeasure is with me. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. And there's no strength but from you, Ya Allah. That's right. It's not that he doesn't give. He gives, but when he wants, and what he wants, and where he wants, and through what he wants. It's not when and what you want. You get to ask, and you'll be granted. But you don't get to set the conditions of granting. But you get to believe. And as long as you are pleasing him, then you shouldn't worry. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is trying to make you understand that your relationship ought to be with the Creator and your reliance ought to be with the Creator. You ought to still give good to the creation regardless how they treat you. But never ever judge what the creation does to you as an indicator of anything. Seek refuge to him subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek power from him subhanahu wa ta'ala and only rely on him subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't even see yourself. He didn't tell him, Ya Allah, I am your final messenger. I am your beloved. How come you're letting them treat me like this? How come you're letting them slander me like this? How come you're letting them punish, torture me like this? How come you're taking all these ones that I love? Lack of adab with Allah, that would have been. And hasha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We seek refuge to attribute anything like that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's much higher than that. He knows. Allahumma ilayka ashku. Ya Allah, I complain to you, I complain. Like that. Not I complain to you. No. Ilayka ashku. Look at the adab in the prophetic words. Hada lafz al-Tabarani, all of them. Oh Allah, to you I complain. He said, didn't say, oh Allah, I complain to you. Even though he said Allah. But still look at the adab. Ya Allah, to you I complain. As if he's saying, Ya Allah, I do not complain to anyone but you. How can I complain to the helpless? But I complain to you because you grant help. Al-Kalim alayhi salam went and said first, Qala Rabbi shrah li sadri. All right. So notice what did he say? قَالَ رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. What is that? Before he says, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he said, Ya Allah, I complain to you, I and then you, he said you and then I, didn't he? What is that? That is that he was in the shuhud of his Lord before the shuhud of his nafs. In other words, he was being in the observation and the witnessing of Allah before he was in the witnessing of his needs. Al-Kalim immediately said, Qala Rabbi. He said, Oh, my Rabb, ishrah li sadri. give me this comfort in my heart. But before he was in the witnessing of his needs, he was in the witness of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the also the point in dua as well. That you witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing, yani observing that you're being observed. Al-hadith, hadith Abu Sa'id, you all know it. Ili rawa al-Tirmidhi wa hassanahu. يعني الترمذي declared it حسن وغريب الحقيقة وقال حسن غريب على أي حال. He says that النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said من شغله ذكري عن مسألتي أعطيته. Whoever is occupied in my remembrance rather than asking me for his needs, I would grant him more than I would grant those who keep asking. Well, he knows what you want, doesn't he? It doesn't mean you don't ask. You do, but when you ask, try to be witnessing him rather than being infatuated by what you need. Very important. All right. So let's move along with the ayah, because the ayah is long, otherwise I don't want you to stay here for long. Allah says, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Ajib. Why? What do you mean, اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي? What do you mean, expand my chest? What do you mean by that? What is chest expansion? What is heart expansion? Obviously, we don't want in the medical term. Cardiomegaly is not a good thing. Nobody wants to have cardiomegaly, big heart. But in a spiritual way, sure, we all want to have a big heart. Definitely not in a medical way. And at this time, I understand also we have our dear Sheikh and Ustad and brother Sidi Abdul Rashid Brown, who is in the hospital yesterday. We had the opportunity to visit him, and he's undergoing an open heart surgery. So please make dua for him and remember him in your dua. Allahumma shfihi shifa'an ajilan kamilan tamman la yugadiru saqama ya rabbal alameen. اشرح لي صدري, expand my heart. It seems there's something with this شرح or expansion of the heart. Huh? Where is it? You see it في سورة الزمر, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن يريد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام. Whom Allah wills for to be guided expands or opens their hearts for Islam. Allah says, notice the ayah, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Then he has nur, illumination in his heart. And where is this nur? From رَبِّهِ, Allah, his Lord. Notice, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. From what? مِن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Woe to those whose hearts are harsh from being in the remembrance of Allah. Wait a minute. The ayah is telling you, those whom Allah wills for them to be guided, hidayah, will do of them sharh al-sadr, will actually expand their chest and heart for them. And then there will be nur in that heart. And therefore, he says, those whose hearts are harsh from the dhikr, from the remembrance of Allah, as if Al-Quran is telling you, if you believe, you will be in the dhikr of Allah. If you are in the dhikr of Allah, and your heart is soft to the dhikr of Allah, not qasiyati qulubuhum fi dhikri Allah, but الذين تلين قلوبهم, those whose hearts are soft when Allah Ta'ala is mentioned, then Allah puts nur in their heart. And those are the ones whom Allah guides. And the nur in their heart is what the heart sharh is, or opening of the heart. Now that nur in the heart, as Allah says, nur fahu ala nurin min rabbih. This is a nur from Allah. And the nur from Allah that comes from the dhikr, as the ayah mentions, this nur is unveiling to you. What does that mean?
It shows you realities of things. It's one thing to learn that there will be this is right and this is wrong. It's another that Allah unveils for you things. So you see it exactly, that's right and that's wrong. Just like that hadith that has weakness in it anyway. لكن when النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي حديث أخرجه أحمد طبعا في المسند when النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر الصحابة رضي الله عنه كيف أصبحت يا حارثة أو حارثة how did you become he says يا رسول الله I woke up as if I see the Jannah and Nar before me I see the people of Jannah going to Jannah and I see the people of Nar going to Nar والعياذ بالله I see the people of Jannah visiting each other and I see the people of Jahannam blaming each other Allegedly, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Arafta falzam." Now you know, stick to it. Now it's Allah unveiled you so you can see. This is a nur from your Lord. It's no longer just theoretical information that you think that you believe in Allah, but you have that full yaqeen in Allah. And then you are in the dhikr of Allah. Once you do the dhikr of Allah, then you will have nur in your heart. That's what the dhikr brings. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله والحمد لله رب العالمين